name. Lord, that you can make new people out of wrecks that we've been, Lord. Mm-hmm. We bless you, Lord, that you take away the sin. You take away, Lord, the desire to sin. And Lord, you put inside a desire to please and honour our God. Mm-hmm. We bless your name. And I thank you, Lord, that in Jesus we have all the fullness of God for us, Lord. Riches, righteousness, sanctification, blessings abounding. Jesus, you're the best. You're the best, Lord. We love you. We thank you that you love us. Oh, Lord, may we have that heart's desire to know you better, to love you more, and to serve you more faithfully. Forgive our sins, Lord. Cleanse us and renew us. Put a right spirit within us, Lord, to worship and serve you. And Lord, as we come to your word, help us to see and understand, Lord, that you're the God who's in charge. You're the creator. You're the sustainer. You are the Lord. We bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The Great Escape. How about that? Yeah? It is the Great Escape. And it's chapter 31 of Genesis. It's about that chap called Jacob. Remember, Jacob's been staying with uncle, father-in-law, Laban, for quite a while. And it's about time he got out. So let's have a look at our next one, please. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Remember last time we were talking about how God had enabled Jacob to multiply his flocks and he'd become very wealthy as a result of that. And the brothers-in-law are starting to get envious. Yeah. I mean, if they followed Jacob's plan, they'd have done the same, of course. But no, they just envy what someone else has got. That's the way envy works. And things have started to change. And there's something important here about how God guides people. And you see, Jacob has been in where he is a long time. It works out, we'll see, 20 years. And this chapter is a bit of a disturbing one for me, because once you're settled in your ways, after 20 years, things are just nice and steady. I mean, not perfect, but, you know, all under control, steady. Right? And then God comes along and changes it all. Right? Well, that's good, isn't it? Are you sure now? It is. It is good. Because it's difficult to change. I'll be the first one to admit that. But change is due. And how does Jacob know it's time? How does God guide him? Well, we're going to see that there are a couple of things. So first of all, although he had to stick it out for a long time, inside his heart, I'm sure there was that sort of sense, you know, this isn't it. Yeah, that feeling. You've got a feeling. There's more. Yeah? And that's what Jacob was feeling. God's got a plan for him, I'm sure. More. And then circumstances. After 20 years he's been away, of course, circumstances are beginning to change. Things are not looking as comfortable now as they were earlier on. The brothers are getting mean and nasty. And it's interesting, the brothers said it, Laban thought it, but Jacob knew that both of them thought the same thing. Because your face gives it away. Yeah. Yeah. Laban didn't have to say it. It's just the ugly look on his face. Yeah. That he realised that things are not quite they were. And God allows those things sometimes in our lives. The uncomfortable, the things that we wouldn't like quite as we would do, are part of the plan of God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that the eagle stirs its nest. Have you heard that one? Why does the eagle stir up its nest? Why does it wreck the nest? To make it uncomfortable for the chick, because the chick's not going to live its life on a ledge. Yeah? It's spent the first months or so getting fatter and flapping its little wings and getting stronger, but the time is coming when it's going to have to leave the ledge and look down there and take off. Got to learn to fly. And what does Mummy and Daddy Eagle do is they wreck the nest. Isn't that unkind of them? No! No. Jacob, God is working your nest. Yeah, that's what's going on here. So, and the next one. Yeah, we need more than that. We don't just need feelings, and we don't need circumstances, because sometimes God calls us to persevere. He's been persevering 20 years, of course. But what happens is, the Lord speaks. And that's the third part of the jigsaw puzzle, yes. The Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So God tells him it's time to go. He got that from the word. Well, I say from the word, it was God that spoke to him. Did Jacob have a Bible?
No.
It wasn't written then. No. No. So God communicated directly with Jacob. But God can communicate directly with you, but through his word, of course. That's how he does it. Yeah? So putting all those things together, Jacob is getting the message, it's time to go. Right, so what happens next is he calls the two ladies, his wives. So Jacob, sorry about all the print, but it's a long chapter, that's why I haven't read it. It's quite a long chapter, this one. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength. Your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. Yeah. However, when he says 10 times, it doesn't mean literally 10 times, I don't think, but what it means is he's done it quite a lot.
Yeah.
And how he cheated him, well, we'll see, he says, however, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks brought streaked young. And so God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. You see, we looked at it, how God had given to Jacob this genetic plan. I mean, Jacob didn't know it as that, but basically they have to breed sheep to get the right colours.
Yeah?
And goats. And what happened was, Laban agreed, yeah, fine, great. And then he cleared off all the spotty ones,
yeah,
to stop it happening. Yeah, but it didn't stop it happening because it carries on, the genes are there. Yeah. So he starts having spotty ones and he starts having streaky ones, and Laban thinks, oh dear, we're losing out here. Tell you what, Jacob, let's modify the deal. Tell you what, you can have spotty ones and they'll be your wages. And he says, when he said that, they all turned up spotty. So Laban thinks, oh dear, the streaky ones! Streaky ones this time, yeah? This is over a period. I mean, there are two flocks during this, two birth periods during the year. There's the spring lambs and autumn lambs. So, you know, it takes a while. But he's got the idea, whenever Laban changes it, God interferes on behalf of Jacob. And he's explaining this to the wives, yes? Right, yeah? So God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. He called them out to the fields. Why did he call them out to the fields? Nobody, yeah, the place is bugged, dear friend. Yeah. Words get out. So he says, come girls, let's have a talk out where no one else can hear it. So it's a secret meeting. Why is he doing that? Because he doesn't want Laban to find out. Yes, we'll see why. So he's explaining what's going on. Next one, please. He tells them now why things had changed with the breeding plan. In the breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob? I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. So the message is, note how it works, Laban. You breed with the speckled and the spotty ones, you'll finish up with speckled and spotty ones. Got it, yes. Right. And then this is the Lord says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once, and go back to your native land. So God had told him the dream 6 years before, but this little bit of the I am the God of the Bethel, I assume, is God is just telling him now it's time to go. But the interesting thing is, we find out, he says, it's the angel of God spoke to him in the dream. And then we see the angel of God saying, I am the God of Bethel. How can the angel of God be the God of Bethel? Because he is God. Well, just a little explanation. I'm sure you know this. But the word angel means messenger. Yeah? And who's the best messenger that Father has? It's his son, called the Word. Yeah. So the angel of God in the Old Testament is Jesus before Jesus was born. Because Jesus has always existed, but he became man when he was born. So we have the angel of God is the God of Bethel. And he tells him, leave at once. It's time now. So he's got confirmation. He's had the feeling. He's got the circumstances. And God says, go. It's time to go. So what's he going to do?
Go.
Are you sure now? Okay. Just remember, you're struggling with all these things that, yeah, you know, make life comfortable, but God's working on it. Right then, next then please. Then Rachel and Leah replied, "Do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he's used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you." So the ladies say, well, father's cleaned us out. You know, whatever dowry we're supposed to have, he spent the lot. So we got nothing. We owe him nothing. Well, do you owe your dad anything? Honour your father and mother, yes, that's part of God's command. But they're talking about inheritance and all that. He's not given them anything, of course. So they agreed to Jacob's plan. I think that's God at work. I mean, these girls could have said, well, we're not moving, we're staying where we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all right. Yeah. Jacob, you go if you want. But no, they decide to go with him. That's grace. Because God's building up a family, that's what's going on. But the fact that they cooperate is good. Isn't that good, husbands, when your wives cooperate? You go for that? Yes, got it. Good. Okay, next one please. Right. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. That was quite a caravan that's going, you know. I mean, a lot of stuff there. Lots of flocks and all these others. So he sets them off, and he goes off while he's doing that. Yeah, right, next one please. Yeah. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. Laban, it's sheep shearing time. I don't know, what time of year is that, sheep shearing time? Autumn time, I should think, isn't it? I don't know. You'll have to find out. I'm not a farmer, you know. But it gives you a clue. Summer. Because it's getting hot, isn't it? I mean, take your coat off when it gets hot, you know. Yeah. So, anyway, sheep shearing, Laban's flocks and son's flocks are further away. A 3-day journey, as it turns out. So Laban goes off to do the sheep shearing. And it takes time. Yeah, so it's a while to take the sheep shearing. So while Laban is out of town, what's going to happen? We're going.
Yeah.
Right. Give us a bit of clearance, yes? And also it says that Rachel stole her father's household gods. There's some household gods there. Little pot things, you know? Yeah. I've got news for you, dear friends. If your gods can be stolen, they're not worth having. Yeah? What good are this stuff? I mean, they pray to these things, and you know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
People pray for some funny things, you know. Anyway, she stole them. Why did she take them?
To remember.
No. Maybe she's a bit superstitious. Yeah. It's also tied up with the inheritance. I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think also it might be just a nice one to get back at Dad. Mm-hmm. Remember, she's the one that's been most deceived.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Father pulled a fast one on her. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. She hasn't forgotten. I suspect that's part of it as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And he says, Jacob deceived Laban. Well, did he deceive him? I mean, he uses the word deceive.
No.
He didn't tell him he was going. Yeah? Is that deception? Why didn't he tell him he was going? Because he'd have stopped him. Yes. So I think that's called wisdom, if that's my word for it, yes? You don't have to tell everybody everything. I mean, it's like, you know, if you've got some enemy, you don't tell him your next plan for getting out of the way. Well, that's what's going on there. So Jacob didn't tell him he was leaving. I don't suppose he told him he was staying either, but there you are. Next one, please. So he fled with all he had, crossing the river. He headed for the hill country of Gilead. You know what the river is? From where he is, he's in Haran, up there. So he's going to cross the river Euphrates. Yes, that's right, yeah. I assume there are crossing places. There have to be for that to happen. So he crosses over there, and he's heading for the hill country of Gilead. What's down in Gilead? Grass. pastures, stuff for his animals, of course. Yeah. So that's where he's heading. He's back home, of course, as well. Why is it important for him to be going back home?
For his work with his brother.
It's where he grew up. We'll come to the brother bit something later on, but it's where he grew up, where he was born, but there's a lot more to it than that. This is the place that God promised that it's going to be his. Yeah. He's going back to where God made the promise. Yeah, that's what it's about. Right, so next up, please. Yeah. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. He's cleared off. Mm-hmm. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Taking his relatives with him. And do you know which relatives he picked?
His sons.
The toughest ones. The meanest ones. Yeah? The rough gang. He's taking a gang with him, basically. That's what it's about. Yeah. He's intent on trouble, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. Nice guy, Laban, you know. Right. So that's where they do. They head off to catch up with him. Right, next slide, please. Then God came to Laban. This is before Laban met up with Jacob, of course. Then God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream at night and said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." Mm-hmm. Either good or bad. What would he say that was good?
Keep
still. Well, God told him to be keep still. Yes, yeah. That's the idea. You don't say anything. But what would he say that was good? Mm-hmm. He'd try the soft soap treatment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, you've got good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Laban's both. Yeah. We'll try, you know, I'll be kind to you. We'll give you more. We'll look after you better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, believe it. No. Or, if that doesn't work, if you don't come back, I'll get my boys to rough you up. Right? So God says to him, none of that, boy. Keep still. Right. And then Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him. So Jacob's arrived. He's back home now, yeah? And Laban and his relatives camped there too. So there's these couple of camps that are there. But God's put the brakes on. See, God's in charge, looking after him. Next slide, please. Then Laban said, "What have you done? You deceived me. You carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps?" You don't believe him?
No.
Neither do I. That's the good bit, the soft soap tap, you know? Right? Yeah, but anyway, you didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You've done a foolish thing, and I have power to harm you. Yeah. That's the bad guy again.
Yeah.
So he's trying to say the stuff that God didn't want him to say, but God's put the brakes on, yeah? Now then, I've just underlined the word deceive me. What have you done? You've deceived me. Isn't that wonderful? He's good at dishing it out, but he don't like it when it comes back to him. Beware, brothers and sisters, what you sow,
you reap.
Well, Jacob's finding out, but he wasn't deceived, he's just calling it deception, really. But there we are, doesn't like it, does he? No. Next one, please. See, "But last night, the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." So he had to admit that God told him off. Right. "Now, you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house." Can you feel the steam going down a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going, yeah, okay, you want to go home. But there's one more bit. "But why did you steal my gods?" Well, Jacob didn't steal her, did he?
No.
It was Rachel. And did Rachel tell him?
No.
Right, next slide, please. Jacob answered Laban, "I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force." And he's right as well, I'm sure, yeah? "But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me, and if so, take it." Now, what do you think about Jacob? He's a bit steamed up about this, of course, but that's a rather rash thing to say. A bit rash. Yeah. Yeah. If we find who it is, they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's his wife he's talking about.
Yeah. Be careful what you say.
Be very careful what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, have a look. See if you can find it. Next one, please. "Now, Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel saddle, and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. I got news for you, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If your gods are only worth sitting on, they're not much good. Right? And I assume that Laban thought these gods were so precious nobody would ever sit on them. Yeah. So he wouldn't bother looking. Yeah. But there's another reason as well, as we find. Yeah, ladies, yeah? Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord. I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period." So he searched, but he could not find the household gods. Do you think she was telling the truth? I don't know. I think she's lying.
Yeah.
I think she's lying. Yeah. Right. Anyway, old dad's looking at that, can't find her. Yes. Yeah, Rachel's like her dad, you know. They're con merchants.
Yeah.
Well, not good. Right, next one, please. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. "What is my crime?" he asked Laban. "What sin have I committed that you hunt me down? Now that you've searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us." And what did he have?
Nothing.
So Jacob is a bit steamed up about this now. Are you good at keeping your cool when provoked? It's the fruit of the spirit, you know, self-control and patience and all that. Yeah. Next one, please. So it's Jacob's time to get something off his chest. Yeah. So he tells old Laban the few home truths. Can you feel the in it? Yeah. "I've been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night." So Jacob got the rough end of that one, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
"Anything gone missing, it's your fault." Mm-hmm. So Jacob has to pay up for it, yeah? So he's telling him that one. Next one, please. A few more to come yet. "This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime, and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. This was my situation. The heat and the cold. Well, during the day, in the Middle East, it gets hot. Right? And when the sun goes down, it gets cold. And why did sleep? Well, you'd know, because you were there, yes? Right, so, that's what it was like. Hot one time, cold the next, yeah? And sleep fled from my eyes. Why is he keeping awake? He's looking after the flocks. In case the animals turn up and all that sort of stuff. So, he's a bit tired, I should think, as well, yeah? And I did this for 20 years, and he just tells him, "You messed me around all that time." He's going off his chest now. Do you feel better for saying that? Well, sometimes it's best not to say things, you know. Yeah. But there we are. He said it now. Okay, next one, please. Yes, and then lastly. "If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had not been with me, you would have surely sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you." And the virus has come to tell us. Or the virus checker anyway, yeah? Interesting names. Jacob calls him the God of my father, yeah? The God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. So, Jacob is referring to God as Abraham's God, and he calls him the fear of Isaac. Isaac, what did it mean he was frightened of him?
No,
it's that reverence, that deep respect. These guys have come to know God, and so they treat God with the respect that God deserves. And so Jacob has got that as well. He's saying this is the God that came to help me, and he's looked after me and seen all that you did, and he's put a block on what you were wanting to do to me. He's stopped it. Yeah. Next one, please. Laban answered Jacob, The women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine and about the children they have borne? Yeah. It makes a lot of noise, doesn't it?
No.
Are the children his?
No.
No. See, it could be, but if you want to call it that, yeah. Right, and so are all the flocks, are they his?
No.
No. Jacob worked for them. No. Interesting how people see things in a different light to what the truth is sometimes.
Yeah.
This is called fake news already,
yeah.
They're mine. And of course, do you know who's at the centre of Laban's world? The word gives it away. Mine. Yeah, he's at the centre. You think, who does Jacob think about? Not really Jacob, who does Laban think about? Little old Laban. He's found out it doesn't pay to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
Bit long in coming, but he's found it out, yes. So that's it. Now then, next please. So now, when he realises it's all over, he's lost the match.
Yeah.
Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us. So let's make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of deals with Laban, but yes, there we are. This is another deal, but it's going to be a better deal, I think, this one. Next then, please. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. So who makes the first move?
Jacob
does. See? Jacob's willing to go that extra mile in that sense. Yeah? So he takes a stone and sets it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, gather some stones. So he's got all them to do it as well. So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. So that's a sort of a dedication meal, in a way, for what's going on here. That's the first bit. Yes? Laban called it Jagar Sadahutha, which you know means Jagar Sadahutha. It's Aramaic. That's the old Aramaic, that is. And he called it Galid. And you know what Galid means? Yeah, well, it means the same as Jagar Sadahutha. But that's in Hebrew, and the other one's in Aramaic. And it means witness heap. Or heap of witness, yeah?
Right.
Okay, so Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me today. That is why it was called Galid. That's the Hebrew name for it, yeah? A pile of witness. That's it. So, well, the stone doesn't see anything, does it? So, what's it all about? It's a ceremony to mark the occasion, really. It's something tangible in order for them to appreciate what's been made and decided on, yeah? Now, next one, please. It's also called Mizpah. They've got lots of names for these things. Mizpah, he says, because it means a watch place, somewhere to keep guard, you could say, yeah? He called it Mizpah because he said, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives beside my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me. So that's Laban saying that. He's saying, you take care of my daughters. That's very nice of him, isn't it? Yes. Why is he concerned about his daughters? It's the only thing he can control in a sense. But why doesn't he want Jacob marrying anymore? Not that Jacob wants to marry anymore, by the way. After four, you're probably tired out by then.
It's
inheritance. Yeah, we don't want him splitting it off. My daughters have got it, so keep it in the family. Sort of thing. I think that's what's going on. You better look after my girls. He may have had a moment of feeling nice about them as well, you know. Even funny guys like Laban might have nice moments, you know. Right, next thing please. Laban also said to Jacob, here is this heap, and here is this pillar that I set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. So just to make sure that Jacob doesn't do any comeback, yeah, he says, I'll promise not to harm you. But he knows God's on his tail, so he won't be doing any of that. Yeah. But Jacob, he might take a funny turn and decide to get even. So what we'll do is we'll agree. You stay your side, I stay my side. Everything's quiet. Okay? Agreed. Next one, please. Laban also said, may the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge between us. So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there on the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. After they'd eaten, they spent the night there. Very interesting how the names of God are used here. Laban calls God the God of Abraham. We know that's right. Yeah. The God of Nahor and the God of their father. That's Terah. What do you know about Nahor and Terah, the ancestor, the father and grandfather of Abraham?
Well, didn't they have
something
to do with Noah?
No, I didn't know. Near Noah's time, but...
They only got
saved
part and they stopped.
Well, that's partly as well. But what about their God? They had gods.
Yeah.
They were idolaters.
Yeah.
Like Laban. They mixed up God, who had revealed himself, with gods.
Yeah.
So he's trying to lump all the gods together. He's what we call a Hindu, brothers and sisters. Yeah. They're all the same. This God, that God, any other God, they're all lumping together. They're gods. Yeah. And that's what Nahor's doing. Yeah? Laban. Yeah? Notice what Jacob says though. Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. That's the one and only true and living God. Yeah? So Jacob, I'll stick with my God, you can have your gods, but I'm making the promise by the real God.
Yeah.
Right. So, and they offer a sacrifice and have a meal and that's the day's proceedings are over. Spend the night there. Right. And they all slept well, didn't they? Yep. Right, next one, please. Right. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. And then he left and returned home. You know, I think he might be going a bit soft in his old age. Yeah. And I mean nice soft rather than nasty, silly soft, you know.
Yeah.
At least he's beginning to... Isn't it strange, brothers and sisters, you only appreciate what you've had when you're losing it. Isn't that funny?
I mean, as well as he's realised he can't manipulate.
Yes, that's the thing that changed for him, of course, yeah. But I think he's realising, you know, I had a blessing on my hands and I've thrown it away.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, that's Laban's problem. Yes, so he kisses them goodbye and says cheerio and Jacob is free now and they all live happily. No? Why not? It's life. Yeah, we'll see. There's trouble ahead. But there's blessings ahead as well. That's the way it goes. But I've one more thing to share with you. Next one, please. Yeah? And it's this. God had made a promise to Jacob 20 years before. And he said this in Genesis 28. I am with you. This is when he was about to leave. Yeah? I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That was 20 years before at Bethel, where the Lord had appeared to him in the dream and told him, I'll bring you back to this place.
Yeah.
And had he?
Yeah.
Yes, God kept his promise.
Yeah.
20 years waiting though.
I hope so, but
how's your patience? I've got this though, this is a good verse that sums it up in many ways, not just applying to Jacob but to you and to me. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If God started something, he'll see it through.
Amen.
That's the promise. Jacob, you're learning this. He's beginning to discover it. God, you made a promise and all those years, that was that feeling in his heart. You know, I think God meant what he said. And it gets clearer and clearer until God says, it's time to go now. God kept his promise. Brothers and sisters, have he made promises to you that you haven't seen fulfilled yet? You have to wait then, won't you?
Yeah.
But I saw this in one of the notes. I don't know which notes I read the other morning it was in, but waiting doesn't mean sitting around doing nothing in God.
Mm-hmm.
And the example they chose was waiting, when Jesus said it after his resurrection, he says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promised spirit.
Yeah.
And waiting, they didn't get the Monopoly games out and things like that, you know, and pass the time, sort of thing. They were praying, they were sharing fellowship together, they appointed another leader and so on. They were expecting God to work, but they weren't rushing God. They were leaving it in God's time, yeah? So, be patient. If it's not quite happened yet, get on with what God wants you to do and keep trusting him. He knows what he's doing. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Jacob has learned a few things in those 20 years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it takes time. And this is one of the things. I'll share this with you just a little bit. In my conservatory, there's a vine. It's an old vine. It's 40-odd years old now. And every year it comes out. I cut them off every year, all the branches and all that. Every year it sprouts again. And the leaves come out. And then these little things come out, these dangly things. and they start popping little green bits all over the floor. They're the petals. Yeah? And now I've got tiny little grapes forming, lots and bunches of grapes. Little grapes, only a couple of millimetres round at the moment. Do you know what's important about that is? The grapes don't suddenly come and appear on the branches. It takes time. God's at work. God's working. Jacob, he who began a good work in you will carry it out. But as he gets from A to B, there's lots of little bits he's doing in between too. Well, that's true for you and me. You have to trust it, don't you? Do you? Good. Oh well, there you are then. Yeah, and we all live happily. We will one day. We will one day. Come on, let's be right. Yeah. Jesus is coming back, you know. And that's when it does actually get fulfilled. Yeah. Anyway, till then, till the day of Christ Jesus, you keep on with us and keep you working. Yeah. Let's pray. Thank the Lord for his love for us. Lord, we bless you and praise you for your grace to Jacob. And Lord, that Laban began perhaps to see the error of his ways. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that loves us and cares for us in the middle of some very challenging circumstances. Help us, Lord, to be trusting people and to, Lord, see you by faith working out what you've promised. Thank you, Lord. You don't tell lies. You're the God of truth. So we bless you, Lord, and thank you that you said in our putting our trust in Jesus that you'll save us, Lord. Lord, you said that no one who comes to you genuinely, sincerely, will be turned away. Thank you, Jesus. That's the promise still standing. And we thank you, Lord. We've enjoyed some of that already. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.